With me for my edition for Farmer Friday, I got Kevin Crawl here from Albia. Kevin, thanks for being with me today.
Well, thanks for having me, Pat.
So the wheels are turning in the field. You've seen it happen. How's things out your way?
Yeah, well, you know, we got a little late start in getting our corn in, which ended up being a great deal for us because there in early May, you know, we maybe could have done it, but it was wet. And John Crawl, who and his crew helps us, and he kind of knocked us out of it. He said, hey, you need to wait till it's better conditions. And he was right. Of course, he knows more about corn than I. He's forgotten more about corn than I ever will know. So we planted it late May. And truly, it's never looked as good as does this year. I mean, it's consistent. Pioneer, they have very good hybrids, and it's amazing what these crops can withstand. You know, we've had a little bit of every type of weather you could imagine this summer. We've had the hot, we've had the cool, we've had the wet, we've had the dry, and now we're really into the dry. And it doesn't really matter. I think that corn, those hybrids can really just withstand about anything. So it's never looked as good as it has now. And I would imagine that you know, later this month, you know, it'll come out. It's still not there yet. It's still a little wet. But it's drying exponentially now. You know, it just every day you can tell it gets drier and drier. So it won't take long. It's just a matter of John coordinating his troops and the things he has to do. Our fields aren't as big as the fields he has to handle. So just depends where we're at. But I would imagine sometime later this month. It'd be hard to imagine that it'd be in there too early in November. So.
You know, you talked about the wet weather. It was nice to have that drought get broke, that 3.5 years of drought, and then consequently the moisture that did come in June and July. You just shook your head because of the fact that we hadn't seen it for such a long time, and here it was, and we were very, very blessed and appreciative of that falling, and that made a heck of a difference as well, right?
Oh, yeah, it was a godsend when it came, and really, I can't imagine, I can't remember it as green as it was in July and even August. And the grass was green and soft, you know, so even in August, it was pretty plush and green, it's amazing. Now it's shut off now, you know. So September it hardly rained, and now, you know, we really need a rain. But as far as the crops go, our corn goes, it got those timely rains when it needed it, you know, when it was pollinating and all that jazz. So this dry weather is not hurting the crops, other than the fact that it's drying them out quicker. So yeah, we were a good growing season, but of course we can always use some more rain when we get it.
I appreciate that comment. What you said about the green color, the richness, means that chlorophyll is doing its job and working the way it's supposed to. And I noticed that as well out and about, because you can actually tell when a field is a vivid, deep green the way it should be, even a darker green than the grass, but versus what we have had in the past, just wasn't as quite as that greenish hue color that you see. And then, of course, like you talked about now, with that high temperatures that corn is drying down out in the field, hopefully they won't have to run the dryers very much. That's the other side of the coin, right?
Right, right. You know, Mother Nature will take over and get it down there. I just worry about it being so hot and dry that, you know, the combine's in the field. You don't want any problems there. And it's getting to the point now where if you have a fire somewhere, it's not going to stop right away. It'll need help stopping. So, you know, we could sure use the rain. And, of course, I don't think it's in the forecast for the next 5 or 10 days. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it was a good growing season. And now we just try to get it out.
Do you run cattle on the stocks afterwards? They're out?
No, we haven't done that for a long time. So,
and then tillage-wise, you're going to hit hit the fields with anything before the snow flies? Are you going to let it go over winter? How's that going to work?
Well, Mom has discussions with John, and they might do that. I don't really know. Some years we do, some years we don't. I would imagine that they'll go into beans next year, so... That's a discussion. See what needs to happen. I'm not involved in those discussions, but it sure could happen.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if you rotate, and that makes sense if you do. Some people, though, go corn on corn. They'll do that for 3 or 4 years, and they've got to make recommendations on that fertilizer. But, yeah, the rotation part still happens on a large majority. And then you never know what the market is going to do. That's the crazy thing about it. That summer bump that usually comes around didn't happen this year for whatever reason. But you always have to look at that, too, because your bottom line – that's why you're farming in the first place. You want to make money.
Right. And, you know, we'll store this corn and kind of wait and see what we do as far as when we sell it. So, that's why you do it. You know, the bottom line is to try to make some money. And we don't use our corn for feed. You know, when I was a kid, we used to chop silage and use that silage and have a pile and put the rest in the silo, and we'd feed out fat cattle, and we don't do that anymore. So it's strictly per bushel, try to get rid of it and sell it and make some money.
Are you a hunter? I know you're a shed looker, but are you a hunter?
No, I'm not. My son-in-law, Colton Kaysen, he is the biggest, him and Luke Nissen, they're big hunters. They went out to Colorado and went elk hunting and came back with two big elk trophies. And so I get all my hunting advice from Colton. But, you know, Pat, I've never shot a gun. When I was growing up, it was strictly, you know, we're going to farm and hunting, you know, was, we didn't have time to do that. And that sounds weird. And I'm not saying that the people now that do it have a lot of time on their hands. They just make time to do that. But, you know, we had our hands full of farming. And so I never got into the hunting scene. I fished a little bit, but all that is even out with my son-in-law, Colton. He is the biggest hunter, fisherman, anything. To do with that wildlife, he's involved in that. So I do shed hunt. I like to go shed hunting. It's kind of like an adult Easter egg hunt, you know. When you see a shed there, you surprise. It's like, wow, you know, that's good stuff. So I do shed hunt. We got some guys that help that hunt off the ground that come down and they do all the hunting, but I just do the shed hunting.
I almost had a deer on the grill the other night earlier this week, so they are definitely out and about, and they're starting to move because of the fact that the crops are coming out. I think it was at least a 10, maybe a 12 was the size he was. Thank goodness I had my brights on, and I was able to slow down and miss him. But, man, he was huge, and he was moving from south to north, came out of the ditch and went into the cornfield there. But every once in a while you get to see a big beauty like that, and you got to say, wow, nature is nice, but you don't want it on your grill.
Well, you don't want it on your grill, and you don't want it in your cornfields. One of our plots, we call it the Morris Farm, because Morris brothers used to live on this plot. When they passed away, Dad bought the ground, and so we call it the Morris Farm. And back by the creek down there, they stripped the corn pretty good. So our bushels per acre is a little bit... It's a little deceiving there because it's really better than it is, but the deer just have at it with the corn. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just my imagination. But when I was a kid, you didn't see all that much deer. You know, you didn't worry about hitting a deer when you went to a tumwa. And now, you know, you better have your eyes open the whole time. And you, sometimes it's best to gauge your trips so you don't have to do it in the dusk or whatever, because I tell you, the deer are everywhere. If I don't see a deer every day, something's wrong, because I see a deer about every day, and I guess that didn't happen when I was growing up. So
I like your point about driving at dusk or when the sun's coming up too. That's the time they move. You got to be aware of that. Kevin, you have anybody that you want to say hi to?
Yeah, I do. I want to shout out to my mom. It's her birthday today. I believe she turns 88. If I'm wrong on that, she'll kill me, but I think it's 88. And, you know, my mom is always out and about. You know, she still mows the lawn, and she gets out and works outside, and she moves better than me, which doesn't say that much, but still, the woman is phenomenal. The best mom a guy could have. She turns 88 today. So if you see Kathleen, wish her a happy birthday for us.
Happy birthday indeed, Kathleen. I've been talking with Kevin Krall for my edition of Farmer Friday. Kevin, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Thank you, Pat.